Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai, Shavua Tov. So, continuing with this this theme of series, there is a request put in, actually by Rav Shmulevitz, on a series of how Sfaradim are to navigate in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, Ashkenazi community, Ashkenazi world. We started good last week with regards to Kashrut. So we'll continue this week in terms of, so Kashrut is more halacha, but you know, there are many, many things to take into consideration. Being a Sfaradi in an Ashkenazi yeshiva, being a Sfaradi in an Ashkenazi shul, or you know, many other settings where minhagim can sometimes clash. And you have to know what to do in halacha. There's halachot about when minhagim clash. It sounds a little bit paradoxical, but that it's a very interesting idea. So I want to start, can you grab me a yevamot? I want to start off by giving a kind of introduction to this, and we'll talk about Sfaradim davening in Ashkenazi shuls and going up first to be shliach tzibur and wearing their tefillin and not only, you know, both ways. And there's a lot of things to discuss and eating their challahs and eat all these stuff, like, and he goes, no, only what do you call those? Only sangak. Yeah, no challah.
They don't know the famous egg challah.
I
remember the story.
My story? Oh, yeah. I told you, I don't know if I have good Torah, good stories.
What's the story?
Huh?
What's the story?
The story is like this. I'll tell you the story, but we have to get back to the Hagdama, because I want to give a Hagdama for the series, which is really Hagdama Malay Halacha L'Maaseh, which is the way we like it. Thank you. So the story was that we all know that according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, when dough has, just as an example, anything in the dough, you know, the taste of bread is flour and water. If there's anything in the dough that kind of impacts that taste, so it no longer tastes like a regular bread dough, and now you have either some sort of spices in the dough, or honey, sugar, eggs, milk, oil. No, yeast doesn't really give a taste. Yeast just makes it rise. But anything that kind of impacts the taste of the dough, that according to Maran, even if it's very slight, as long as it's detectable in the dough, birkato borei min hamizanot. Hence, very clearly, according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, a cinnamon raisin bagel, not because of the raisins necessarily, but the cinnamon in the dough of the bagel makes a cinnamon raisin bagel, borei min hamizanot. Same thing, a egg challah, according to Maran. Now egg challah, I'm not even talking, zamix is like an egg, I don't even call it, it's an omelette. It's like orange, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about those, but even regular Ashkenazi store-bought egg challah, it has enough egg in there that not only do you see it, not only do you smell it, but you can certainly taste it. That ladat Maran HaShulchan Aruch and shum safek ba'olam is borei min hamizanot. Ashkenazim tell, but you're kevei asuda. You have to know what it means according to Maran, likboa sa'uda. There's kevei asuda and there's likboa sa'uda. There's two different things, la'alacha. Listen carefully, let me explain to you what that means. Likboa sa'uda doesn't just mean that you're eating it as a meal. According to Maran, likboa sa'uda, it doesn't matter what you're eating it for. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything in between, it has no difference. Likboa sa'uda l'da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch, and siman kuf sammachet in Orachaim, is that it has to be shi'or she'acherim kov'im aleihem sa'udatan, which means eating enough of this item that others would eat of it, only that item is a sa'uda. Which is machlok taposim, exactly what Maran means. Lechumra safek brachol nakil dictates that it will turn to hamotzi when you eat four kabitzim. Four kabitzim is approximately 216 grams of volume. That's a totally different shear. Whether we estimate or measure shiure Torah in volume or in weight, tremendous machluk taposkim, not talking about that now. So, for Ashkenazim though, according to the Ramad, Derke Moshe in Siman Kuf Samachet, as well as many other poskei Ashkenaz, Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, they all bring it down to halacha, is that as long as the dough is not as sweet as what the Ramah calls lekach, you know, what's lekach? Honey cake. Which means as long as it's, if it's really, really sweet like a cake, okay, mizonot. But if it's not really sweet like a cake, then it's still constitutes bread, and according to the Rama, Minhag Ashkenaz, it's a motzi lechem min ha'aretz. Hence, you have Ashkenazim taking egg challah on Shabbat and making a motzi. V'zenachon ledivrim, that's perfectly fine. Aval ledat maran ha'shulchan aruch, it's a big problem. You're making a motzi on something that's mizonot, it's ba'aya. Yeah, it's safek ha'motzi, but it's also mizonot. Safek brachot la'akin, you can't make a motzi. Not only can't you make a motzi, you're also not yotze with it le'seudat ha'shabbat. Seudat Shabbat requires pot. So, when we'll speak about Be'ezat Hashem what to do in an Ashkenazi home, or when you're being, when you're in yeshiva, or when you're being hosted by Ashkenazim, or whatever, you have to sometimes plan ahead. But I have other stories for that. But what happened was, one time I was in a situation like that, and we were invited not only by Ashkenazim, by Sfaradim. This was in Great Neck, and I don't get out much. I usually invite people. I don't usually go out much because I'm a tough cookie a little bit when it comes to eating and food and burnt rice and stuff like that. So I don't really do that stuff. Anyway, mikol makom.
Toasted with style.
Yeah, toasted in style. Anyway, so I don't really, but we got invited to sit there. So we're sitting there. The guy's bivadai sfaradi and shum safek ba'olam. And we sit down, we're making kiddush, v'akol b'seder. And then all of a sudden I see him rip off the challah cover from the thing. And I see, oh no. Zamek's egg challah. Not only did he get egg challah, he got the omelet. You know what I'm saying? He got the chicken, you know, where the eggs came from. That's this is the mother of all egg challahs, this thing. It's not even a motzit shakol, because it's all egg. Anyway, mikol makom. So he pulls it out and we're all washing now, and I'm thinking maybe there's pita hidden somewhere, maybe there's like some water challah. So I'm like hoping, Hashem, like, help me. And I didn't come prepared because I didn't think, I usually would come prepared if I knew that there was an issue. So we're going to wash, and he's making hamotzi on this thing. I'm like, so Derech Eretz also dictates that you're not going to tell the guy off, you're going to start, you're going to embarrass him, you don't say anything. So you deal with it. But also, how do you deal with now, with justifying Birkat hamotzi, doing the mitzvah of Pat B'Seudat HaShabbat, what are you supposed to do now? So the next best thing, the only way, like I told you, to turn a mezonot item into a motzi is for kabitzim, which means start pounding. So start eating and eating and eating, and he's like, can I pass you? And there's, you know, hummus and stuff. I'm like, no, just bread. That's good bread. And I'm eating, and he's like, you like that bread, don't you? I'm like, it's delicious. I'm eating and eating and eating. I couldn't eat. They made so much, I couldn't eat afterwards. But at least I got my asot. That's the price. Baruch she'asani sfaradi. Anyway, mikol makom.
Side question.
Yeah. You could, but that's, I'm sitting right next to him. That's called making a scene. I'm going to teach you also not only halachot, but the halachot of not making scenes. How's that?
It's better you have any other bread, maybe. I don't think it's going to insult him. He'll be like, okay.
Why? What's wrong with this one?
He'll be like, this rabbi's very mafia. You're not like, he'll be like, this rabbi's very mafia or whatever. I'll give you your bread. Which one you want?
If you know me, you know I'm not the type. I'm very, very low maintenance. I don't ask. I don't. Whatever you give me, I eat, or, you know, I don't. It's not my style. I don't roll like that. Go ahead.
What you were saying, can you just say, can you just have the halosi, like, kind of like, and go home because it's without natural bread?
Technically, yeah. But yeah, I don't remember exactly what my cheshbon was, but I had a certain cheshbon why to do that on that day. So I wanna just preface this this discussion with a very big, it's a concept in halakha that comes up a lot. And sometimes it is misquoted, misused, and abused for lack of knowledge of the sugya and knowing what the poskim have to say about it. It's the concept of lo titgodedu, yeah, which in English is called sectarianism. What's sectarianism? Akadosh, we know that it all starts off. Let me give you the backstory here. I'll try to paraphrase because I don't want to get into all of the nitty gritty. There's a big machloket tenaim in Masechet Yevamot. The Mishnah brings down, anybody here ever learned Yevamot? I'm sure they learn Yevamot in Yeshiva over here every so often. Anyway, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Yevamot that says that Tzara, just like a in general, that's the first Mishnah of Emot, not only are the 15 arayot themselves, if they fall to Yibum, patur mechalitza miyibum, not only do they, are they patur miyibum, but if there's a co-wife, if there's a tzara, they exempt their co-wife as well. That's the premise that the first Mishnah Yevamot gives. Chamesh ha'isin ha'shim, potorot tzarotahim, tzarot tzarotahim, min ha'chalitza min yibum, ad sof ha'olam. Now, the second Mishnah in Yevamot says that not everybody agrees with that. Bet Shammai disagree. Bet Shammai say that the Irva herself, one of the 15 arayot, if she falls to Yibum, she doesn't have Yibum or Chalitza. But her co-wife, which Bet Shammai calls Tzarat Abat, Bat is only an example of one of the 15 Nashim, she gets Yibum. Tov? Now, which means according to Bet Shammai, Tzarat Abat, Mitzvat Yibum, the child from there is Kadosh V'Tahor. Bet Hillel vehemently disagree with Bet Shammai. Usually it's the other way around, but over here Bet Hillel or Machmir, and say, Ma Pitom, Chas V'Shanom. Bet Hillel says, like we said before, that the Isur of Arayot travels over from the Irva herself to the Tzara, and not only is she when we say that you're exempt from Chalitza V'Yibum, let's say she says, no, I know I'm exempt, I want to do Yibum anyway. Hey, hello, that's Eshet Ach Shelo Bimkom Mitzvah, what do we call that? It's Irva. It's Asur. If there's no Mitzvah Yibum or Chalitza, you're not allowed to do Yibum. Maze, and according to Bet Hillel, therefore, if Tzarat Abat gets Yibum, not only is the Valad not Kadosh V'Tahor, the child is a Mamzer, because it's Arayot. And this was a very, 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 very extreme Machloket that started dividing Am Yisrael. Because guess what? If situations like these happened in Bet Shammai town, they'd have a lot of good kids running around. Whereas if this happened, these kinds of situations happened in Bet Hillel town, what would happen? Mamzerim. So now what? Now you have to start keeping Sifrei Chasin. Says the Mishnah, don't worry. Bet Shammai didn't stop marrying Bet Hillel. You know why? Bet Hillel, they were mensch. What did they say? They made a whole list of who these kids were. And anytime they tried to make Zivugim Benehem and these kids popped up, Bet Shammai would say, this kid, don't marry. Why? Because it's a mamzer for you. For us, it's good. They would notify them anytime there was a mamzer ledivrehem, and that's why they kept the ava v'achva shalom v'rut among them. They knew that it was machloket l'shem shamayim, and they notified them when there was an issue ledivrehem. The Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Yudalet Amud Bet. The Gemara goes in Yud Gimel Amud Bet. Sorry, the Gemara starts over here and has a whole sugya. The Gemara learns out an isur of lo tidgodedu, lo ta'asu, agudot agudot. Which means that you're not allowed to make different sections in Am Yisrael. You're not allowed to make different halachot in different sections, to which the Gemara questions, how can that be? If that was the case, how could Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai argue about something like this? They were both, you know, they're paskening and doing different things. So there's machloket abaye v'rava about the parameters of when do we say lo tidgodedu. When do we hold this isur of sectarianism of making different sections in Am Yisrael? According to Abaye, Abaye says, when is there a problem here? Let me find it for you. Here, Amar Abaye, Yudalat Amud Aleph, ki amrena lo tidgodedu kegon shte batedinim be'ir achat. Halalu morim kedivrei Bet Shammai, v'halalu morim kedivrei Bet Hillel, aval shte batedinim b'shte ayarot letlan ba. Which means, when do we say that there's a problem of lo tidgodedu? If you have, this is, the Gemara is giving this as a pretty big example of a machloket that can cause a rift, that can cause a fight in Am Yisrael. Says Abaye, if you have two batedinim in the city, one bedin paskins like Bet Hillel, another bedin paskins like Bet Shammai, over there you have a problem of lo tidgodedu. But if you have two batedinim in two different cities, what's the halacha? Huh? Not a problem. The Gemara then asks, hey, wait a second, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel lived in the same city. How does that work? Okay. But anyway, according to, just get the halachot first. According to the Shitot, according to Abaye, Shte batedinim be'irachat, problem. Shte batedinim b'shte ayarot, two batedinim in two different cities. They don't really cross paths. Every bedin is in the jurisdiction of his own city. All fine. Rava disagrees with Abaye. Rava says, even shte batedinim be'irachat, even two different batedin in one city, one bedin paskening one way, the other bedin paskening the other way, is not a problem whatsoever. It's perfectly acceptable. Why? It's two different batedinim. When is there a problem of lo tidgodedu? Bevedin achat, in the same bedin, part of the bedin rules one way, the other part of the bedin rules the other way, that will cause lotit godedu. If you have conflicting views emerging from the same bedin, forget about cities, you have the same bedin, that's the only case, says Rava, where you have a problem of lotit godedu. If it, break it down for me, tell me the shitot again, Abaye v'Rava. Abaye says what? Okay. Yafe. Following the rule of Abaye v'Rava, Halacha k'Rava, besides for Ya'il Kagam, besides for the six cases in Shas where Halacha is k'da'at Abaye, what should the Halacha follow here?
Rava.
Which means, what should be the Halacha if you have different psakim or different minagim in Am Yisrael? As long as they're not originating from the same bedin, what's the Halacha?
Fine.
So and Be'emet, huh?
You don't have to be Mevatir.
I have to be Mevatir. There's no problem. As long as you're part of a Bedin, you're paskening something. Therefore, what? According to Rava, no problem, lotit godedu. Rif, Rosh, Verov kechol haposkim, pasken like Rava, based on the rule. Interestingly enough, who doesn't pasken like Rava? Rambam. Rambam goes a little bit different. He writes that, over here, he writes that the problem of lotit godedu is when you have שתי בתי דינים בעיר אחת. And if there's בשתי עיירות, it's okay. But two different בתי דין in the same city, that's a problem. All the מפרשים jump on the Rambam. כסף משנה, מרנה כסף משנה, רדבז. All of the מפרשי יד החזקה, they all jump on the Rambam with the obvious question. Why would he paskin like Abaye against Rava? This isn't one of the six cases of Ya'il Kagam. So why did the Rambam paskin like Abaye? That's a big question. The Kesef, there's a few answers among the Acharonim. Both the Kesef Mishneh and the Radbaz explain very clearly, and they say, the only time, the Rambam understands, the only time that Halakha follows Rava over Abaye, in general, is only when they are arguing among themselves. If they have their own svarot, and they're disagreeing, then in general, in Shas, besides for six cases, we're going to paskin like Rava. But over here, Abaye and Rava are not arguing among themselves. They're arguing about a concept of lotit godedu, which really dates back to whom? They're arguing about how to explain Bet Shammai uVet Hillel. How Bet Shammai uVet Hillel weren't a problem of lotit godedu. Therefore, when they're arguing, when they have a machloket that is attributed to earlier Tannaim or Amoraim, over there the rule of Rava over Abaye doesn't apply, and therefore the Rambam in this case paskins like Abaye with regards to lotit godedu. What does Maran hold in Shulchan Aruch?
Huh?
You have Rif and Rosh versus the Rambam. Now what? The tough one. It's a trick question because Maran doesn't paskin on it. Now, that being said, what would he paskin on it? In general, if it's not if it's Rov Kechol HaPoskim with the Rif and the Rosh against the Rambam, he would go with them. If it's not Rov HaPoskim, if it's just the Rif and Rosh versus the Rambam, depends on the case, sometimes he would go with the Rambam. It really depends on the case. Maran HaShulchan Aruch does not weigh in on this machloket. In Kesef Mishneh, he does. Now, what would that say about different minhagim today? According to the Rambam, what would be the halacha? Now, we're all in the same city. So according to the Rambam, it gets a little bit stickier. Yeah, in the same yeshiva, in the same community, in the same shul, where you have some doing this and some doing that, according to the Rambam, now might become a little bit more problematic because you're all be'ir achat. So this is where lotit godedu might start cropping up. Yeah, go ahead.
But it all came from a different city, although why we're different is because we all came from a different city.
That's fine, we're all together now. This is one big melting pot. You saw what they served on Thursday night? They had cholent and poppers and ushpalo. And everything, you know, everything's one big mix. Yeah.
We don't have any betins, like in the yeshiva. So the Gemara was talking about betins, but this is different.
Zil batar tama. What's the reason I mentioned it in passing before. What's the now? This is not an isur deoraita. It's a smachta. Lotit godedu. This isur of sectarianism. What's the reason behind it?
How about Yisrael?
When you have different psakim and different things, it causes strife. It causes, you know, What are you doing? You're wrong. My Rebbe said this. No, my Rebbe said that. Fights. The machloket Abayev Rava was, when were, what causes the fights? Shtei bate dinim b'irachat, shtei bate dinim b'shtei ayarot. Where do the fights emerge from? That was the machloket Abayev Rava. So even though, yes, you're saying you're not part of a beddin, but if you're all part of the same yeshiva, all part of the same community, all part of the same kila, or part of the same shul, do you not envision there being an issue of fights breaking out? Or even if it's not, it doesn't have to be physical fist fights, but like strife, you know, discomfort, things like that. What do you want to say, Ari? Okay. So, I want to tell you that that's incorrect. The Meiri, in his Perush, Bet HaBechira, on this Gemara Nivamot, Daf Yudalit, as well as the Ritba, says the same thing. Yeah? Ritba, what was his name? Rabbeinu Yom Tov ben Avraham. People usually mispronounce his last name, yeah? Especially in yeshivas. They usually. Now, I take the liberty of saying that Ashkenazim pronounce it wrong because he was a Gaon Sfaradi. He was a Rishon Sfaradi, velo Ashkenazi. People usually pronounce it Rabbeinu Yom Tov ben Avraham, they say Elashvili. That's just wrong. Why? His last name really was Alesvilia. Why? The Ritba was from Seville in Spain. There's a city in Spain called Sevilla. Al Sevilla means what? From Seville. So that's the proper way to pronounce his last name. The Ritba was Talmido Shel Rabbeinu Aharon HaLevi. Rabbeinu Aharon HaLevi, the Mechaber Sefer Bedek HaBayit on the Torah HaBayit LaRashba, close friend of the Rashba, the Ra'a, and the Ra'a was a Talmid of the Ramban. So when he, in Ritba, anytime you see Chidushei HaRitba or Tshuvot HaRitba, and he refers to Mori HaRav, my Rebbe, that's a reference to Rabbeinu Aharon HaLevi. When you see him quote Rabbeinu HaGadol, that's a reference to the Ramban. Remember that. Yeah, so it happened, comes up a lot. Mikol Makom, both the Ritba and the Meiri was a little bit later. The Meiri was a Gaon from southern France, from Narvona, Chachmei Narvona. And they both write that when the Gemara says, even according to the Rambam, who paskins like Abaye, even according to Abaye, that shtei bate dinim be'ir achat are a problem. Listen to the wording of the Gemara. Shtei bate dinim, when you have two bate din, what's the point of a bate din? To issue psakim. When you have piske halacha, piske din, from two different bate dinim in the city, that can cause strife, according to Abaye. But if it's not something that has to do with piske halacha, if it's something that has to do with minhagim, something that wasn't necessarily paskin, something that's already a well-established, adopted minhag, and everybody knows this is the minhag of this place, and this is the minhag of that place, even Abaye would agree that there's no problem of lo tidgodedu. You have Rishonim Meforashim, the Rosh says the same thing in his Psakim on this sugya. With regards to Minhag Kavua, with regards to Minhag Yadua, lo tidgodedu doesn't apply even according to Abaye. Certainly according to Rava, that even Be'oto Ha'ir there's no problem of lo tidgodedu unless you're sitting on the same bed din, which certainly is not the case. But even according to Abaye, that Be'ir Achat is a problem. When is Be'ir Achat a problem? When you're dealing with what? Shtei bate dinim, piske din. Then you Bet Shamay, Bet Hilel. But when you have Minhag Yadua that everybody knows, Sfaradim do this way, and Ashkenazim do that way, it's not going to cause fights. Everybody knows. This is already entrenched in Halakha for centuries. Nobody's going to start making fights about it. For that reason, if you look, I don't know if you have it here. Do you have, does Landers give you access to Otzara Chochma?
Yeah.
Okay. Look it up. I'm giving you the Mare Makom. It's a very, very important Mare Makom, especially for Ashkenazim. Because there many times, certain people will tell you, this guy, everything's Lotit Godedu. You can't do any, you know, you can't, everything's Lotit Godedu. Wait. One of the Chatam Sofer's Rabbanim, Hagaon Maharam Banit, Rabbeinu Mordechai Banit, he was the Avbedin in Nicholsburg. Gaon Atzum, tremendous, tremendous Gaon, one of the Chassam Sefer's Rebbeim. Shelot Utshuvot Parashat Mordechai, Chelek Or HaChaim, Siman Dalet. He discusses, you know, there is on Chol HaMoed, there are differences in Minhagim between Sfaradim, and not even all Ashkenazim, but some Ashkenazim. Many Ashkenazim For instance, Hasidim hold like Sfaradim, the Zohar HaKadosh says Meforash, not to wear tefillin b'chol ha-moed, and Maran HaShulchan Aruch paskins like the Zohar. Uncharacteristically, Maran doesn't always paskin like the Zohar, he almost never paskins like the Zohar, but when there's a Zohar Meforash about a certain halacha, and there's no contradiction from the Shas Ufoskim to that Zohar, Maran will adopt it. This is one of the examples. Maran says Meforash, we do not wear tefillin on chulosh ha-moed bichlal. And that was adopted by Hasidim as well. Among some Lita'im, among some Ashkenazim, they do wear tefillin on Chol Moed. They have different, even those who wear it, they have different minagim about when they take it off. Some take it off before Halel, some take it off before Musaf, different shitot. So Maharam Banit was asked a question. He's asked, what happens if there's like a shul in a certain place, and it's by a yarid, by some sort of a, you know, market or a fair where a lot of people gather? And over, he wasn't even necessarily talking about Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. He was even being asked about Ashkenazim and Ashkenazim. What happens if you have a shul in town and different Ashkenazim come to that shul on Chol Moed, somewhere, some have the minhag to wear tefillin, some do not. What's the halacha? Are they obligated to separate and make two different minyanim, or can they pray together? He was asked that question and he says, Meforash, there's no issue whatsoever of Lotit Godedu for them to daven together on Chol Moed, even while, not standing behind the mechitza, not nothing, even on the same table, some wearing tefillin, some not, it's not a problem of Lotit Godedu, because this is a minhag yadua, everybody knows, there's a machloket aposkim, and some communities took on this psak, this minhag. Now, you're going to ask me, hey, wait a second, all of these minhagim originated in what? Piske Alachot, right? Since it's originated in Piske Alachot, doesn't that once again make it subject to Lotit Godedu? What's the answer to that question? Do you understand the question? Say the question, Yosef, say the question.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam,
shehakol
nehyeh bidvaro.
Right,
we said
a given from the Rishonim, from the Ritba, Meiri, Rosh, and others, that anytime there's a minhag, minhagim are not subject, even according to Abaye, minhagim are not subject to the rules of Lotit Godedu. What's the shaila on that? Minhagi Sfarad v'Ashkenaz are what? For instance, yeah? Maran paskind, and therefore what? Became minhag Sfarad. The Rama and Poske Ashkenaz paskind, and therefore that became...
Everyone knows about it, so it's not going to cause any fight.
It's no longer a fight about the halakha, it's going to be a fight about the meaning.
But these dinim are not, they're not minhag oriented. We don't not wear tefillin on Chol Moed because of minhag. That's the halacha. L'da'at Maran ze apsak. So what do you answer to that question?
This was an argument in time of the Shas.
Therefore, no, it wasn't an argument in time of the Shas. Shas doesn't talk about it.
Right. So I'm saying, so
Zohar talks.
So it wasn't minhag before.
Meaning, let me. You're kind of touching on it, but I really wanted to get you to elaborate a little bit more. In Rav Chaim Brisker, Alav Shalom, used to say, Felten Azbar is Felten Havana, which means that if, you know, many times the Rebbe will say something, and I'll ask the Talmidim, Nu, you understand? Obviously, knee-jerk reaction is what? Of course! Yeah, of course we understand. The Rebbe will then say, okay, say it over, and then sometimes you get stuck. The rule of thumb is, if you can't explain it well, that means you don't understand it well. The way to prove to yourself that you understand the concept well is by forcing yourself to articulate it. And you know what forces you to understand it even better than articulating it verbally? Writing it. If you're able to write it down, there's different levels of Havana. Shmi'a, Dibur, Ketiva. Remember the three levels of Havana. Listening is one level, you understand it superficially. You say it over, you understand it better. Ktiva, yeah? Ukne lecha chaver, it says in Pirkei Avot. Maran Zechomer always used to say, Ukne lecha chaver v'kane lecha chaver. Kane is a quill. A reed, a pen. The pen should always be your best friend. Huh? Meaning?
Meaning, he says that, like, you're going up to
Shema, this thing should be taken. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, writing is the most intense form of Havana. The purest form of Havanat Torah comes from Ktiva. Therefore, you should always, 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 whether it's, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Ktiva Bayadaim, typing is also fine, but the point is, articulating it in written format forces your brain to imbibe the the subject matter better. Yeah. No, over here it's to write. The Rambam writes that to write your own notes was always mutar. To write it ledorot, to be koveya it, that was the issue that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had to be matir for writing down the Mishnayot, and then the Amoraim did it for writing down the Gemara. But writing your own notes was always the minhag in Am Yisrael, and that's always mutar. Even pre the heter of et la'asot la'ashem, the Rabbeinu HaKadosh instituted. The Rambam says that in the Hakdama of the Rambam, of Yad HaChazaka. So, Rabotai, listen carefully. The answer to the question is yes. When these halachot were debated by, you know, the earlier poskim, Maran and the Rama, or Maran and Bedino, who was on the Bedin of Maran? Maran and Bet Yosef, 400 years before. Mabit, Rabbeinu Moshe Tarani, is Gaon Gadol, they went at it a lot, and also the Radbaz was their Av Bedin, the Radbaz, Rabbeinu David Ben Zimra, that I quoted before, he was the Av Bedin in Mitzrayim. He moved to Eretz Yisrael when he was 80 years old. He made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and he moved to Tzfat. Out of Kavod, he was Gdolador, out of Kavod, Maran Bet Yosef was the Av Bedin. When he came, he made him the Av Bedin, until he passed away. He passed away 30 years later at the age of 110, the Radbaz. He's buried very close to Maran in the Beit Almin Atik in Tzfat. Rabbeinu David Ben Zimra, there's thousands of tshuvot. Shailot tshuvot Radbaz. Yeah. So the Radbaz and the Rambam actually have tshuvot about it. About how, I mean, the Radbaz wouldn't have been the first one, the Rambam. He moved to Mitzrayim. So there's, the Rambam actually speaks about it, and he speaks about Parnasa and Sakana and things of that nature. There's a whole tshuvan Yabi Omer about it also. Maran Zichrono Levracha, Maran Chacham Ovadia. Also, for 3 years, moved to Mitzrayim to be the Rav Rashi. So if it's being done to disseminate Torah, that's one heter. If a person cannot earn his parnasa elsewhere, that's another heter. There's a few heterim that the poskim speak of. Now, that being said, originally, if it was being deliberated in the bedin, they made a psak halacha, and then let's say Maran paskin not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the Madbit, let's say paskin too, not that he does, and then they would fight about it in the same bedin or in the same city. Over there, we can talk about Lotit Godedu. But that's not the case for us today, Rabotai. That's history. The halakha has already been nikba. We already have a Kabbalah shel da'at Maran. We already have a consensus of all Sephardic communities all over the world. Kibalnu alinu hora'ot Maran ha'shulchan aruch. We accepted. And not only that, the entire world accepted the rulings of Maran ha'shulchan aruch. Look in Shailot u'tshuvot Rama, Siman Memchet, how he speaks about the hora'ot of Maran ha'shulchan aruch. You know, historically, the Rama was writing his own Shulchan Aruch at the same time as Maran Bet Yosef. What happened was, he realized that Maran had beat him to the punch. Maran had published his Shulchan Aruch before the Rama had finished his. When he heard about that, look at the Anava of Rabbeinu Moshe, that we call, how does Sfaradim call the Rama? If you look in Poske Sfarad, look at the Ben Ishchai, look at the Kafchaim, how do they call the Rama? Moram. Moram can mean two things. B'Lashon Kodesh, Moram means their Rebbe. It's also our Rebbe, primarily their Rebbe, their Posek. And Moram is also Rashi Tavot, Moreno Moshe. That's the way to remember it. Anyway, you're getting a lot of, not only do you get the Torah over here, Chachmei Sfarad, but you get also the culture, you get to know the Poskim, you get to know a little geography, you get to know the history. It's very, very important to know where you came from and who your Poskim were. Because you can never really appreciate anybody's Torah unless you knew about his life and times. That's why I said, the neshama of a sefer, sometimes you'll find in the pticha, in the Akdama. I'm very, very into reading the Akdamot of Sfarim, because sometimes in the Akdama, you'll learn about where was he from, what did he live through, who were his rebbeim, who was his talmidim, you know, what was going on at the time. You'll learn a lot of that and more from Akdamot. It's very, very important. Sometimes you can miss the whole neshama of the sefer if you skip the Akdama. So, mikol makom. But now, hundreds of years later, where it's already been settled, this is the minhag. The minhag is the paskin kedat maran. So already, like we said before, it's not something that's going to be ma'orin machloket. It's not something new. It's not a new question that came to light and now it's being deliberated by poskei ador that there's a chashash for, oh, this is old news. Old news that Sfaradim paskin like Maran and Ashkenazim paskin like the Rama. Now, interestingly, guess what? Not always will every community among the Sfaradim paskin everything like Maran and Shulchan Aruch. There's exceptions. And not always will all the communities among Ashkenazim always paskin like the Rama. There's exceptions to that too. Sometimes they'll paskin like the later poskim. Sometimes, especially in Yoredei, many, many times, there's many machlokot between, let's say, the Rama and the Shach, or the Rama and the Taz. Many times, Ashkenazim will go with the Shach over the Rama. He's posekach. No, they go with their later poskim sometimes, so it's not ironclad. But whatever the minhagim are in that specific community, everybody knows that there is a system in place for masoret ha-psika. Sfaradim go this way, Ashkenazim go that way. Therefore, that removes the issue of lotit godidu. Verstehst? According to everybody. Not only according to the Rif and the Rosh, the Paskin like Rava, but even according to the Rambam, the Paskins like Abaye. Understood? Any questions? Yeah.
When is there ever a case of lotit godidu?
Well, I just told you from the Gemara. You tell me.
Lemaisa.
Lemaisa, let's say according to the Rambam, if you have two different, let's say there's a new shaila, give me an example, it could be a shaila that comes up, a 21st century shaila that comes up, and it's not meforash in Shas and Poskim, it requires deliberation and needs to be thought out, deep penetrating analysis by Poskei Ador. So you have two different Batei Din in the same city, let's say, and they each come out with a different conclusion. What? And it's something about Psak Halacha. Something new comes out. Can it or can it not be used b'Shabbat? And Yodama, I'm just giving an example. Some new apparatus comes out, and one Bedin delves into it and he says, it's Asur to use on Shabbat. And the other Bedin comes out and says, it's Mutar to use on Shabbat. So according to Rava, what would be the Halacha? No lit godedu. You have to decide which Bedin you want to follow. But there's no issue of lotit godedu. According to the Rambam, that would be an application of lotit godedu, because that's something that the Rambam understood can lead to strife and fights and all sorts of uncomfortable situations in Am Yisrael.
Also, is there a lotit godedu by praying mincha with your tefillin on?
Meaning?
A lot of people are not going to like, they're going to be like, why are you wearing tefillin? In Israel they do it, but here they're going to think like you're crazy.
So, do you mean to ask in terms of lotit godedu, or do you mean to ask in terms of yuara? Yuara means a form of gava.
So, no, I was asking in terms of lotit godedu.
You tell me. I told you the Maharam Banit. What does he say? The guy sitting next, he says, why are you wearing tefillin?
A lot of people, like, in a lot of shuls, here's different. Yeah. In the shuls, they're not going to understand. They're going to be like, we're crazy, why are you wearing tefillin right now?
Why not? It's a minhag that's brought to the Ari HaKadosh used to wear. It's many mekubanim do it. Not to say that everybody should now adopt all the minhagim lefi asod.
It's not known.
Not known by whom?
By the Amiratsim.
You have to be worried about Amiharit? Yeah? You don't kovea alachot lefi Amiharit, you kovea lefi chachmei Torah? Yeah.
Is the whole world now considered one here? Because of the internet or?
No.
No, I'm saying because, meaning information travels like an instant, whatever they. It's going to suck in Yerushalayim, right now, here.
Still, but so let me ask you a question. If that's the case, that is true, but does that mean that there shouldn't be Batei Din in New York because there's Batei Din in Yerushalayim and we're all, information travels fast, whatever? Why establish a Batei Din in New York or anywhere else? There's Batei Din in Yerushalayim, so let's just call. Doesn't work that way. Every year has its own jurisdiction, has its own chachamim, and they have to sit down and form batei din and form batei hora'a in order to paskin shailas that are nogea for that vicinity. Verstehst? Yeah, Binyamin, chavo.
What would be if Beis Din in New York, for example, gives one psak, and Beis Din in Israel gives another psak?
Okay.
It's almost full time.
For sure not lotit godedu, according to all opinions, because that's already shtei ayarot. Even according to Abaye, who is the more machmir, and even according to the Rambam, once you're in shtei ayarot, you don't have a problem. Only Be'ir Achat would there be a problem. Shtei Ayarot, and there'd be plenty of that in history. And it's the first time you're hearing that different Batei Din or different Poskim in different cities issue different Psakim. Ends all the time. All the time. And they're entitled. That's Kachi Darkash of Torah. That's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You just said that it's only problem when it comes to Halakha, when it comes to Minhag, it's
yeah.
Not because seemingly Halakha is never coming to fight. Practically, it seems like the opposite. I don't ever see like, people arguing about my tefillin's kosher, your tefillin's pasul, and practically people argue about minhagim a lot more.
When do you see people arguing about minhagim? Meaning what? Like if they see you wearing, let's say in Ashkenazi sees you wearing a talit by Shacharit, and they're not. They start fighting with you? Why? Why not? What's wrong with you? I'm playing devil's advocate. You know what I'm saying? Why?
Huh?
Yes.
Yes? Many
times, yeah. Shiva in
England, don't take
it off. I mean, okay, listen, that's his prerogative. I went to Ashkenazi yeshivas and nobody ever told me anything. And I guess different strokes for different folks, but let's get something straight. Halachically, lotit godedu is no. It's not lotit godedu and there's nothing... I'm not telling you to wear a talit, I'm wearing a talit. What, am I doing something wrong? Am I wearing a bigot asur? Talit? Not only that, you can tell, you should be wearing talit. The Mishnah Berurah himself writes that for Ashkenazim, non-married Ashkenazi Bacharim, not to be wearing talit brings a few reasons for the minhag why they don't. And he says, and after all this, it's all weak. He says, chalash, why they don't wear it. It happens to be their minhag. So you're getting on my case while I'm doing the right thing? You know what I'm saying? But lotit godedu, it's not. Let's get that clear. Every yeshiva in his yeshiva has a prerogative to make whatever rules he wants. But halachically, lotit godedu, it's not. Now, in the following shiurim, this is really a nice hakdama. We'll speak about how to navigate minhagi asfaradim in Ashkenazi settings, and sometimes the minhagim could be sometimes it's a lechatchila b'dieved kind of situation, sometimes it's a me'akev situation. Sometimes it could be kasher ufasul. So there's many, many different situations that can pop up. I'll try to cover as many as I can with regards to tefillah, tefillin, shliach tzibur, eating out by Ashkenazim, not only in terms of Bet Yosef, but what to do in terms of brachot, and bekata oreach, and zimun, and all sorts of things that could crop up, which is important because we live in that setting. And it's okay, and it's wonderful. And guess what? Ashkenazim also have to know what to do when they come to a Sephardic setting. It happens less, but it happens as well. So it's all, and that's the beauty of the Torah. The Torah gives solutions to all of these dilemmas that pop up. And Be'ezat Hashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow during lunch.